The key stories that matter. 25 minutes of interviews with people on the ground and experts who can break it all down for you. Plucked from Radio National Breakfast, you can hear The Breakfast Wrap every mid-morning on the ABC Listen app and on Radio National at 11:30.
China might buy lots of Iran's oil, but it's trying to keep the war at arm's length. So what role is Beijing playing? How is its economy affected? And what is it learning about the United States military? Today, an expert in China's politics, Neil Thomas from the Asia Society Policy Institute, on Xi Jinping's strategic moves. I'm Sam Hawley on Gadigal Land in Sydney. This is ABC News Daily. Neil, Donald Trump is scheduled to meet the Chinese president next month. And, well, he reckons Xi Jinping is going to give him a huge hug. That's what he said on his social media platform, Truth Social. What do you reckon?
I think he's right. We'll see about whether he gets a literal hug. But I think for both Xi and Trump, the main focus of this meeting is basically good vibes and ensuring that the current stability in U.S.-China relations continues.
Yeah, okay. So in Donald Trump's world, the Chinese leader would be really pleased with how things are going in the Iran war?
He is not pleased at all. But I think we've seen from the messaging coming out of Beijing for the last few weeks that despite China's quite vehement disagreement with U.S. moves to attack Iran, for the Chinese leadership, priority this year is to maintain this stability in U.S.-China relations because it means a continued pause on any new tariffs or export controls or other economic measures from the U.S. that could hit the Chinese economy.
The United States has imposed new sanctions targeting Iran's oil trade, including a major Chinese refinery and dozens of shipping companies. These sanctions come just weeks before a planned meeting between US President Donald Trump and China's President Xi Jinping.
China is the biggest buyer of Iranian oil, and it's accusing the United States of dangerous and irresponsible behaviour in the Strait of Hormuz.
China expresses concern over the United States' forced interception of relevant vessels and hopes that the parties concerned will act in a responsible manner, honour the ceasefire agreement, avoid aggravating confrontation and escalating tensions.
All right, the Chinese, though, they are really impacted by this war, aren't they, because of this closure of the Strait of Hormuz. Most of Iran's oil actually ends up in China, doesn't it? So it is having an impact on the Chinese and the Chinese leader.
It's having an impact. China is much more important to Iran than Iran is important to China. Mm-hmm. China gets about between 10 to 13% of its oil imports from Iran. So, you know, a not insignificant amount, but it's not a major source of oil for China. It's more the global uncertainty, the global hit to energy markets, which is, you know, pushing up prices and squeezing Chinese companies and the Chinese government.
I did read as well, of course, that China has a massive, huge stockpile of oil, so it can kind of ride this out.
That's right. My understanding is that it could last for a few months. I mean, they don't want that stockpile to go to zero either, so it's not like they're going to sit around twiddling their thumbs until the gauge runs out. But yeah, it certainly puts them in a stronger position than a lot of other countries, including Australia, which doesn't have nearly as many months of oil in stockpile.
Well, look, if China, as you say, is really focused on keeping this relationship with Washington on track, what do you make of these reports that China has actually sent weapons to Iran?
Intelligence.
Big problems, okay?
Secretary Hegseth, there's reporting that says U.S. intelligence indicates China is preparing weapons shipments to Iran during this ceasefire.
Well, as you know, President Trump has a very strong and direct relationship with President Xi, and they communicated on that, and China has assured us that that indeed is not going to happen.
Now, it denies it, Beijing denies it, but that would be of concern, would it not?
Absolutely, and I think this is the main watch point. And China already had a defense trade relationship with Iran, a close economic partner in the region. We know there's been exports and imports of arms going both ways in the previous years and decades. So what's less clear is whether these reports refer to things that were already happening before the war started, or do they represent an escalation in the sense of being a active effort to help Iran fight this war better. And that's where I'm a little bit more skeptical, because that would prolong the fighting and that would, you know, have an impact on China's economy and extend this crunch on global energy markets. Mm-hmm. So it's possible, it's a big watch point, but I'm not sure we have all the evidence we need just yet.
So, Neil, why don't we unpack a bit more the reaction to this conflict from Beijing and, I guess, what it hopes to get out of it. Now, once upon a time, the United States was seen as a steady world superpower. But, wow, how things have changed, right? Because it's now Beijing that's offering advice to actually solve this crisis. The president even issued a 4-point plan, didn't he? Just tell me about that.
That's right. So in a call with the Emirati Crown Prince, Mohammed bin Zayed, she came out with this 4-point initiative for Middle East peace. And very briefly, it's peaceful coexistence, it's national sovereignty, international rule of law, and balancing development and security, mm-hmm. which all sounds wonderful. But what does it actually mean, yes. right? And thus far, we haven't really seen China play much of a role in getting its hands dirty in the diplomacy of getting a resolution between the U.S. and Iran. As far as we can tell so far, Beijing's been keeping a distance from the diplomatic action here because it doesn't want to alienate the U.S., it doesn't want to alienate Iran, it doesn't want to alienate all the other close partners it has in the Middle East, including the Gulf states, which do not have good relations with Iran. So it sounds wonderful, but thus far, there's not much behind these beautiful words.
Yes, right. But it basically wants to portray itself as a neutral party. It's not involved in this war, and it doesn't want to be involved in this war.
It wants to project itself as a force for stability, predictability, for peace on the world stage. Notably, the Spanish Prime Minister, Pedro Sanchez, was in town, actually the same day that she had the call with the Emirati Crown Prince. Mm. And Sanchez quite directly called on Xi to play a bigger role on the world stage and to pressure the Iranians and the Americans to bring the conflict to an end. And so far, I think those calls have, you know, fallen on relatively deaf ears, but it's certainly exactly the kind of sentiment that Beijing wants to be generating, right? People turning to Beijing as an oasis of stability in a world that Xi himself has said is increasingly in disarray.
Yeah, it's fascinating. Yeah, this fracturing of Western alliances, you know, the threats from Donald Trump against NATO and other allies like Australia, the anger that they haven't come to his aid in the Strait of Hormuz, does that all in the end benefit China?
I think as long as the United States is so unpredictable, is, you know, starting conflicts, then of course every other country, including Western countries, US allies and partners, are going to hedge against that uncertainty. They're going to want to diversify their options. They're going to want to make sure they're talking with China, with other countries, with India, trying to get options on the world stage if the US isn't as immediately reliable as it once was. But I think the other thing to bear in mind is that, you know, no one in Europe or none of these allies and partners, to my mind, you know, want to go all in on China, right? There's still a strong demand including from Australia, for American leadership, at least as a balance against China, and perhaps ideally also as a force of stability and safety in the Indo-Pacific. So I don't think we're going to see anyone signing military alliances with Beijing anytime soon.
Yeah, and I mean, while the world's in disarray, China's still got its eye on its economy, right? It's powering ahead. I mean, selling renewable energy, for instance, around the world right now, it's in a really powerful position, isn't it, economically?
In the longer term, yes. I think one of the big potential impacts of this conflict in the Strait of Hormuz is greater investment in renewables by almost every other country in the world. And China is way ahead in terms of the technology for solar, electric vehicles, lithium-ion batteries, all these essential green technologies for the future. It's a huge part of not just their climate policy, but also broader economic policy in China as well. And so in the short term, I think China's main concern is still this pressure on global energy prices and ideally having this conflict resolved, even if they're not going to do a whole lot to try and get that done. But you know, looking ahead into the next few months and especially the next few years and decades, I think it certainly could redound significantly to China's advantage.
Neil, China, as you've said, is keeping its nose clean when it comes to the Iran war. But tell me, what does all of this mean for questions surrounding Taiwan? Does this war change anything in relation to China's ambitions there?
I don't think it changes anything about China's ambitions. I mean, China wants to eventually bring Taiwan under its control through a combination of economic incentives, diplomatic exchanges, and military coercion. It doesn't want to fight a war if it doesn't have to. But what China really is getting from a military perspective from the Iran conflict is a great view of how the U.S. is fighting, how its naval, drone, missile forces are working in real time, their vulnerabilities, the effectiveness of interceptors, which might cause some people in Beijing to think twice about just how superior their missile force is in the region. So that could even dampen some of the short-term enthusiasm for military aggression. But more broadly, it's a great kind of view on how the American military is operating, strengths and weaknesses. And China's going to use those lessons to try and develop its own military going forward and to make it stronger and less vulnerable to the U.S. military.
Yeah, so it's watching America's military might very closely. But at the same time, the U.S., of course, is depleting its stocks. Is that good, in a way, for China?
Well, certainly the movement of huge amounts of both ships of men, of materiel from the Indo-Pacific to the Middle East certainly weakens America's presence there. And there's, you know, question mark given the America First foreign policy that Trump has as to, you know, will these forces be replenished? Will they be sent back there? Could they be reallocated to Latin America or other priority areas? And so if that does eventuate, and this is part of an ongoing depletion of America's presence in the Indo-Pacific, then that is only going to strengthen Beijing's hand in relation to Taiwan going forward.
All right, Neil. So in the end, what do you think? Is China actually one of the very few winners from this war?
I think China in the short term is a loser economically, like every other country in the world. But in the longer term, it is a winner if we see, you know, less American focus on the Indo-Pacific. We see a turn towards renewable energies in which China is really strong. And if countries take a longer term hedge against American power and, you know, become more diplomatically aligned, relatively speaking, with China.
Neil Thomas is a fellow on Chinese politics at the Asia Society Policy Institute in Washington, D.C. This episode was produced by Sydney Peed. Audio production by Cinnamon Nippard. Our supervising producer is David Cody. I'm Sam Hawley. Thanks for listening.